This is an encore presentation. If you like it, listen live on Saturday at 8 in the morning, Soul Sanctuary. The views on this program are solely those of the host and his or her guests and do not reflect those of KZSM Radio, SMTX-CRA, or its governing body. Hey, everybody, my soul soldiers, you're here. We made it to Soul Sanctuary, and today we have the coolest guest that I could ever think of. We have Miss Rebecca Dahl. Rebecca, would you like to say hello?
Hello.
Tell us about your show.
Well, I am the host of the Rainbow Flower Power Hour. It's on Tuesdays from 6 to 8. We're making it a double rainbow, by the way, thankfully.
All right.
Because, you know, after 1 hour, we're just getting into it. So, It started out as a 1 hour show. Now it's two.
That's fantastic. I don't know that I could go for 2 hours. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's good. It's good though. But it's a playful call for a peaceful revolution. And I take you back to the late 60s, early 70s with most of my music sets. And of course, there's so much great indie music now that, I can't help but put in things from all kinds of times. So I hope people don't mind the crossbreeding, but
I'm sure they don't. I know that the first time I was exposed kind of to the genre of music, I believe that you play, was on the Muppet Show, and there were these little groundhogs or gophers, and they were doing Stop Children, What's That Sound? That song?
Yeah.
Man, I was like 7 or 8. I was completely inside of that. Like, if there was ever a time where I would just change genres and never come out again,
Such Buffalo Springfield is just iconic for the time.
It was such a perfect song. And even at that age, I didn't know understand everything that was going on. I knew people didn't like Reagan.
But there was
a feeling about it that I was so intrigued by.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to know what was the sound, too. And I wanted to know what's going down, too. Like, I wanted to know. I wanted to be with it. I love music that... the music and the arrangement and the lyrics are such that they pull you in from wherever you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
That connected kind of music. So you play, yours was the first show that I sat in on when I was learning to be a DJ here at KZSM. It was so cool. You were really, really gracious with me. Since we know, we're going to kind of today, I think, talk about some of our current events and how they're kind of how we're experiencing them.
Okay.
From the musical aspect, which what your show highlights, and from the metaphysical aspect, which my show highlights. And I think that they kind of blend really nicely. If you say the name of your show.
The Rainbow Flower Power Hour.
The Rainbow Flower Power Hour. And then you say Soul Sanctuary next. That's on the same block, right?
Oh, yeah.
it so harmonizes. It so goes together. So from your show, what song do you think encapsulates our current experience over the last, let's say, for this summer?
Wow. You know, a lot of that... Let's see, it'd be hard for me to distill it down to one song
because
the message of that time is just as relevant today as it was 50 years ago.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, so, but I guess what it feels electric to me because it feels like the door just started to crack open at that time.
Right.
And, of course, there was resistance.
Right.
And that resistance, because of, it gets complicated.
It's cosmic.
It's like the earth is constantly moving. It's never been in the same place at the same time ever in your lifetime or ever.
It never will again, right.
And so we travel, just like when you're in your car and you travel from here to Dallas, say.
Right.
It might be sunny here, rainy there. Well, we've moved into a time where it's raining on the patriarchy. It's not good. They're caught in the rain.
Right.
And this time of love and light, the age of Aquarius that we've been talking about, is here.
Right.
And acting out right now.
It's one of my biggest fears is that And it does relate to this. I'm pretty sure. Hopefully I'll remember where by the time I get to the end of this. But one of my biggest fears is that I actually have absolutely everything that I've asked for, but that I don't recognize it. Kind of like weird version of that movie Memento. Like everything that you want and everything that you need is actually, or just like The Wizard of Oz, right? Like everything she actually wanted and needed, she had, but she just didn't know it. And so I'm so afraid that when we get distracted by the things we get distracted by, and we are highly distractible. When did America become the dog off of Up? Where it's just like, squirrel, like everything is so distracting. Everybody is so offended and everything is so distracting. And we fall for the okie doke like every single time. Meanwhile, I'm convinced that everything that's designed to divide us, is just for our destruction. Like, if the first thing that you look at something, if it's polarizing, I say get away from it. I say get away from it.
Yeah.
Because the whole time that we are looking at and being adversaries of each other, we don't see the real problem. And there's lots of real problems. The Pacific Ocean's just dying. It's being killed. It's not dying. It's funny when we were in.
It's dire. It really is.
It's
dire.
Terrible. I was in St. Augustine for my dad's wedding. Congratulations, Dad. Back in August, and I stood in the ocean, and I was at first I was asking the ocean for like heal me and give me, and I was like, you know what? Everybody probably always asks the ocean for stuff. So I said, what can I give you? And I said, I want to give you gratitude. Thank you. And then I started trying to empathize with the ocean. And I was in the Atlantic Ocean. So I was like, it must be painful to watch your sister die. Because I did it and it was painful. And how must it be for this huge thing that makes up most of our planet to watch a part of itself just being killed? Why? I don't know why there wouldn't just be tidal waves to kill us all at all the time.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be angry?
Right.
So in that kind of unification of sisterhood and water and feminine energy that kind of came up in that experience, I wanted to talk to you about your experience walking. Like, it's been, for women, it's been a little bit of a rough go for a little while.
It has been. And the choices have been much fewer for women.
Right.
And being taken seriously is much harder for women.
Right.
You know, in another life, when I was a single mom, I was a commercial real estate broker.
Okay.
So playing a boy's game for sure.
Right.
But it's funny. Women also have this innate power. And I found that actually I was better off as a woman in a boy's game because I could get my foot in any door. If there was a woman behind the door that would only let women in, I could get in. The guys could not. And, you know, there were a lot of women involved in real estate decisions. So it was interesting to see the power dynamic and how, you know, how you can leverage.
You really can. You really can. When I was a agent on the phones in the tech department, that's all boys. There was like two girls and there was about 50 people. So it was in tech support. And so when people would get me on the phone, they'd be transferred to me. They'd say, yeah, I need the tech department. I'd say, this is the tech department. Like, yeah, I need someone technical, though. I'm like, I'm technical. They're like, yeah, honey, could you get me somebody who can deal with this? And so I had to kind of become a little bit more androgynous. Like, I had to take on this Pat kind of role. So I deepened my voice and I went by Hunter, because it was a unisex name instead of my first name, which sounds very feminine.
Yeah.
And I started to get more respect. I started to get less resistance on the phone. And I was like,
how weird is it that if
I just add a little bit, I take a little bit of the femininity out, I get more respect. It was like really offensive, but really effective.
Right.
Like most things.
Right.
And just like the fact that I would have to kind of do that. And that was just in tech support, which is a dude's game. It was. Nowadays it's a little bit better, but even there's sexism inside of technical women, because like the girls who do the tech stuff even have like a little name. What do they call them? Gamer babes? There's some sexist thing, some rape culture that's being reinforced. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah,
but they don't get the same playing field. Still, this is 20 years later. Still, there's a stigma.
Well, And, you know, with all love to all sisters, there's a certain thing that's happening there. This goes back to a thought is a thing.
Yes.
And
yes.
The men are expecting to be treated with respect and expecting, and they were brought up that way.
That's right.
We were brought up in a different way. So
yes,
that
ma'am.
The battle for us is to set aside other people's feelings
that's
in
right.
a lot of cases, which we're very,
yes.
you know, in
that's
tune
hard.
With.
Yeah, that's hard. Yeah.
And so, well, and because, you know, we've watched bad girls get ganged up on.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's
we
right.
learn early.
Sure.
You know, not to be aggressive.
Sure, not to be aggressive. And not to play in games where we're not invited. Because mm-hmm. the way that they ran Hillary and Miss Palin, like, I know that they probably had issues and stuff, but the way that they came at those women was uh-huh. so sexist. We're always talking about their clothes. And
yeah.
these, whether or not you agreed with them, they had things to say that were outside of their clothes.
Right, but they weren't even hearing what they
no.
had to say.
Mm-mm. They didn't get to the table.
Right.
Oh, great. This is going to be fantastic. All right, guys, we're going to run into a break, and on the other side, we'll be back with you.
That is true. My soul's sanctuary. My soul's sanctuary.
Sanctuary. Oh, my soul, sanctuary. Soul,
San Marcos, this is Virginia from Equality Right Now. Tune in every Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. for lively discussions on gender issues and rights, as well as race and relationship equality. Be sure to check out my Facebook page and tune in to KZSM.org, your true community radio.
Hi, I'm Ellen, and welcome to the Ellen B. Show. Come join me and my guests for deep conversations covering such areas as birth, death, dying, health, religion, and politics. No topics are too controversial. So tune into the Ellen B. Show on KZSM.org Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m. Central Time as we explore all aspects of life.
Howdy, howdy, y'all. This is Tina, your host of the 5 O'Clock Friday Show. Join me every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. I'll bring you some fantastic music in rock, country, hip-hop, blues, and more. Don't forget to catch my updates in traffic and community events that are going on around town. The 5 O'Clock Friday Show, every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. on KZSM.org.
So that was Tina, and she also helped train me to become the DJ that I am today, which is fantastic. Again, we have in studio
Rebecca Dahl
from
the Rainbow Flower Power Hour.
So excited. So we've got a pretty interesting topic, and I just realized that she actually has had daughters.
Yes.
And I have two boys. Yes. And so we're going to be talking about toxic masculinity, which I think is kind of fantastic because we have two moms. Right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to kind of talk about what toxic masculinity has meant in our kids' lives or how we've seen it kind of present itself. Yeah. And I think that it would help if we could all kind of back away from that really stereotypical kind of machismo idea.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a couple of cases where I've seen that be actually helpful in my entire life.
Yeah.
Usually it's causing some kind of at least mental conflict in the people that are around me.
Right. And a certain kind of underlying stress that's the toxic part.
You're right. That's a perfect way to say that. There's this underlying stress and we all participate in it. Just like we all participate in rape culture and racism and white supremacy. We all could participate in this toxic masculinity. I think some of us who are becoming kind of woke about it are trying to do that less, but it's kind of in everything, every advertisement.
And so for the sake of all the cool guys that we love that are chill and not doing this in the world, not creating this kind of tension and attention on them.
Yes.
Define for the listening audience what toxic masculinity is. So guys, you know, we're not talking about all of you.
That is so important. This is why she gets the big bucks. I'm still just starting. Okay, toxic masculinity is a critique of cultural perspective which stereotypes men as dominant, aggressive, unemotional, and sexually aggressive, both collectively and as individuals. So wow, that's 13 shows.
There's
so much in it. Let's start with the most obvious, or what has come up kind of recently here with the Me Too movement, the sexually aggressive part.
Yeah.
And I think that gets so dicey because I don't know whether it's my nurture or my nature, actually, but I don't mind if they're, I require a certain amount of confidence in my intimate dealings. That's as deep as I'm going with that.
Yeah.
But there's a line, right? There's this kind of, first of all, going into being in an intimate situation with someone, there's several agreements that have to lead up to that.
Right.
And then during, there's several agreements that have to happen then.
Right.
And after, there's several other agreements.
Right.
There's just like this really long list of agreements that make it okay.
There's several yeses that lead
several
to that
yeses.
Ultimate yes. That
several yeses, right.
Enthusiastic
that
yes.
That enthusiastic yes. And if there's an enthusiastic no, immediately everybody has to pack up their toys and go home.
Right. Or, you know, by sexually aggressive, we're talking about those guys that don't even take the time to make those steps. They just go straight to
there we go.
Zone
sure
you know
sure.
that they want
right
and
And it doesn't have to, I mean, it can be, I know that when I was doing online dating a long time ago, like 12 years ago, I met a gentleman who came to take me out on a date. And immediately, first of all, no, I'm not going to get into that. let me try to stay on topic. The point is, he came in for a hug that I didn't ask for or want. And where his face fell was like right at my bra line. So it was very uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
And I kind of just, you know, got him away and off of me. But just the idea, I didn't go, that was the last place that we were together. I got in my car and went home after that. Because you can't tell, I'm not asking you to come in for a hug. I don't want to explain anything else to you.
Right.
Also, I told you, his head came up to my bra line. Yeah. So that was pretty much done when he got out of the car. But I can't, it's all no. And because I am so expressive in how I, and how I, you know, communicate, I'm sure that no was there, and I'm sure that no was obvious.
Yeah.
Even then, there, you know, I'm presented with a situation where I have to kind of be a little bit more aggressive or a little bit more firm in my no thank you. And so I think that we as women find ourselves in similar, like that kind of situation a whole lot.
Right.
There's a whole lot of lingering glances we didn't ask for.
Right.
There's a whole lot of responsibility put on us that we didn't ask for, and that's not actually fair. We have to be kind of aware of what we're doing with how we dress.
Right.
How much lipstick we put on. that fine line between...
Because if not, we're complicit in a crime.
Right. If not, we're complicit in a crime. I'm being sarcastic, saying it's not fair that
is put upon us.
Absolutely. Because we're out here making rapists. Or maybe there's rapists.
But you know what?
Looking at us.
What is behind all of that is the enormous power that the female body has. This incredible power that we really are not taught how to... manage
anything. How to anything
and like I kind of understand where in some countries they would cover themselves from head to toe and even hide their eyes for fear of what men might do should they show
one bit of their power.
You know,
the thing about that is it's terrible that people have to be in the condition where they're made to wear certain things, but the fact that a government actually, or religion, whatever it was, actually took into consideration how alluring the body is, and that maybe if we just make it a gigantic blob, nobody will hurt them. I get it. I get that idea. I don't like how it's kind of, the practice has affected women.
Yeah, but I wonder how they feel about it.
Right.
You know,
I'm sure they don't feel honored. They probably just feel suppressed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I wonder, because, you know, if you grow up in some, because as American women, you know.
We don't know. That's right.
We can wear whatever we want.
Sure.
And.
Well, kind of, depending on how you're shaped. Because just now, Serena got in trouble for wearing the exact same outfit her opponent had on. Uh-huh. Except for Serena had looked like badadow in it.
She had bad hair. Which is the worst position to be in, the one that just got away with wearing it and nobody said anything.
Exactly. Serena had people turning on tennis that don't care about tennis. And so they're like, yeah, I don't think that's okay. So, but much to a much greater extent than over in the countries where women are not allowed to wear whatever they want. We do have that freedom.
We do have
but
that freedom.
But there is a range.
So we assume, because we know, you know, just like the pony that doesn't, you know, have a rein, we assume that's the better way to be.
Right.
They maybe have no idea what that... Maybe they're even terrified of the possibilities.
Sure.
Because let's face it, you get raped and then you get stoned to death by your own brother?
Right.
I mean, can this be true? I'm
that's
afraid it is.
That's horrible rules. I mean, that's all set up. Look, first of all, the idea that women were ever, like, led to believe or ever held the thought that we're not the superior gender, when we actually take the infinite and turn it into the finite in our magical wounds, how can anybody tell us that we're not the stuff? Do you know what I mean?
And you
know, amazing.
Even if a woman doesn't make babies, she is doing that, manifesting in everything that's going on in her world, you know?
I am so on board with that.
And so able to take it from concept to reality.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, and that intuition's right there to guide us the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
But the way, I don't know how collectively another group got together and convinced us that we're not the magical beings that we are.
Violence.
Well, there you go.
Over 4 million women were burned at the stake. And that wasn't the beginning of the treatment of women. It goes way, way, way back. And it has to do with warring people conquering other people and creating starvation and
right.
And you know, it's an ugly scene,
it
you know,
really
when you
is.
When you look back on it, because
right.
When there's starvation, first the father leaves to go find food, may or may not come back.
Right. Leaving
and the mother and children right. are left to forage what they can. The
right.
mother expires giving food to her children, and then children are alone in the streets running amok, you know, and desperate. And so this is where this culture gets created, you know.
Right.
And then
right.
it's spread all over the world.
It's a really... it's a way to show dominance, right? Is one
yeah.
of the things I do is rape and pillage. The first word is rape.
Yeah.
Before
yeah.
they get to the stuff, we're not even going to go to your stuff first. First, we're going to violate your women. And then if there's stuff around mm-hmm. we like, we're going to take that too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's really powerful.
Isn't
okay.
it?
That's got my head completely spinning. So we're going to go into some universal love, guys, and then a break. And after that, we'll be back with you. You're listening to Soul Sanctuary.
Planet that's so bitter and cold,
so cold.
when my hands go. If it's too hot, the ice should be cold.
This is a space where the cream flows. Over my shoulder till my friend grows. On and on until we both know. Universal love in the ninefold.
Hey, San Martians, read any good books lately? Read any bad books lately? Any books you'll never forget? Any books you want to fling directly into the trash? Whatever you've been reading, or not reading, join us Tuesdays 4 to 6 for Bookmarked, all about books and reading in San Marcos and the world.
This is an encore presentation. If you like it, listen live on Saturday at 8 in the morning. Soul Sanctuary.
You should be here. You should be here with me, babe.
You should be
Girl, you know you drive me. Girl, you know you drive me crazy.
You should be here.
Guys, we have had so much fun. We've been sitting here giggling and chuckling the entire time. This is such a fun. I hope we didn't run out of stuff. I'll just throw a song on. If we did, we'll be fine. So one of the things we wanted to talk about as women here in our experience is aging as women.
Yes, yes.
So what are the highlights? What are the top concerns that come up when you think about aging as a woman?
Well, you know, that there's this kind of common belief thread that maybe women believe it even more than men, but that you have an expiration date that, like, you know, you kind of sell by date.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Shelf life, yep.
And,
that's right.
And it's not true.
It's not. And then people
like 55, and I just want to say, yeah, you know, the moment you think you're old, you're too old to do something, you
right.
should go and do that right away and prove yourself wrong.
Immediately.
Because
yeah.
Actually, life just gets richer. You get to claim your power.
Right.
You know,
right.
You find yourself in the driver's seat, mm-hmm. you know, more so when it comes to men.
All of the decisions. Well, and I think that around 40, one of the things that happened, and my sister told me it was going to happen. I didn't believe her.
Mm-hmm.
But she said around 40, I was going to get a fresh bucket of no BS. And I would stop tolerating things that I tolerated before. And I was like, she doesn't know what she's talking about. And she's like a couple years older than me.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, on my 40th birthday, right around 9 a.m., I got a fresh bucket of no BS. I was so less tolerant of things that I was doing to appease other people.
Right.
If it didn't have to do with my light, T.I. has a song, "If It Ain't About the Money, Don't Be Calling Me Up. I Ain't Picking Up."
Yeah.
It was kind of like that. If it wasn't about my light or my journey or like adding to my life, I really don't want anything to do with it.
Right.
And it stayed. It's been 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah.
And it never went away.
Well, and that's also one of the benefits of getting older, if you have the privilege to get older.
That's right, the privilege.
Lost several friends that, you know, didn't get to come this
far. Absolutely.
But, you know, you realize that you get to keep every age you were ever.
Every age you ever experienced. That's right.
I'm kind of like an antique little girl, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I don't think that I'm going to be leaving my 30s. Like, as old as I get. Yeah. I think I like 30s. I was more serious and that kind of thing. So right. Now I'm just like experiencing 30s with a big old fresh bucket of no BS.
Yeah, no BS.
Less tolerant.
Well, but also more capable of finding your joy and staying there.
And being okay with it. Being okay with lots. Being okay with being alone.
Yeah.
Being okay with being the only one who has a certain opinion. I remember, you know, when I was in the corporate world, I was a supervisor. We would all sit around talking about, we hate this condition. We hate this and we hate that. Like, yeah, let's go talk to the managers about it. Yeah. And we'd march into the meeting and we'd all be fired up. And I would say, you know what we think? And I would say whatever the thing is. And then there would be crickets.
Oh, no.
One time I actually looked around at my coworkers and I was like, the cheese stands alone? And nobody said anything. They just left me out there hanging. And
that's the corporate world for
me. Oh, my God. I was so mad. But
do you know what a corporation actually is? It's the legal definition is a soulless entity, a soulless legal entity. So it's just kind of empty and soulless. So it just sort of sucks it. There's a vacuum there. And
absolutely.
It just like sucks the souls
sucks your
of
life.
Humans.
Yeah. It's,
I don't think all corporations are like that, of course, but
At its core, because the thing is that maybe they are, because at the bottom of it, a business is for profit. So the moment that you become not profitable, you're expendable. So I think actually all corporations probably are, and maybe it took being outside of corporations for 10 years. I was out for exactly 10 years when I came up with the idea to have Soul Sanctuary. So I think your theory proves true, at least in my walk.
You're trying to replenish the well.
That's right. Get my soul back. Because it had been sucked dry. And I mean, all of us, if you've been probably in most positions, most jobs, if you have any kind of politics, which I think is every job, you've had to make decisions that kind of put your ethics against your morality.
Right.
Your values are always being questioned.
Right.
And, you know, every day you have to prove what kind of employee you are, what kind of person you are, what kind of values you hold, who you're going to align yourself with. And depending on how you want to play the game, you have to be really careful with who you get seen with.
Right.
You know, and it's so.
Yeah, because really the underlying question of all of that is, what is your price?
Right. Exactly.
And
that's right.
Yeah.
That's
and if you consider yourself to be priceless, it's very hard to fit into that system.
Oh, yeah, it'll break that out of you. That's not saying either you're gonna go or that attitude's gonna go. You can't swim very
yeah,
far.
Yeah, the two just oil and water.
It doesn't work. You will find very quickly that you don't get along in that environment. And that's true. And you know, one of the things I learned in corporate America was it's so important to respect who you work for. The bosses that I had that were my favorite, I would just say their names, but I don't know if that's okay. There's two of them, and they were amazing, amazing bosses. Both of them were the epitome of professionalism to me. They were completely emotionless, which is kind of like working for data. Now, at first, the character officer, now, at first, you would think that's a bad thing. But the cool thing about working for somebody who's completely emotionless is you always know what you're getting.
Right.
And they were always honest, and they always were just so true. I learned so much from both of them. And actually, like 2 years ago, I went to friend one of my old bosses on LinkedIn, and he never responded. And so I think that means he didn't like me, which makes me respect him so much more, because I learned so much. I did so well on his team, and I learned so much that if he never even liked me, that makes him amazing to me.
Right.
That's amazing to me that you could conduct yourself. Your professionalism is bigger than your emotion.
Right.
I respect that so much.
Right. Or maybe he never has time to get on Facebook.
That's a very gentle and not awfulizing thing that my brain doesn't do naturally, but I appreciate it. I like her story better. I'm taking that one. He's not even, like, he probably doesn't look at it. He probably doesn't.
I just don't see how he couldn't have liked you.
I don't know.
He was probably telling you now, simmer down now. It's not a lot of the time, but.
usually he was telling me to simmer down. He taught me that perception is not reality, but needs to be treated as such. Mm-hmm. He taught me that I can be seen as an island because I go off and do my own thing and don't necessarily include everybody or share with people. And I was like, why am I sharing it with them? We had some of the most important conversations in my professional development. And I don't know, I should probably send him a cheese and sausage basket. But
that sounds like a great idea.
Right? I really think I think I can probably find them.
I think it is important, too, to take the opportunity to tell the people that have helped to guide you that right. how valuable you've been for Absolutely. Them, even if they're way Absolutely. Out of the picture.
Sure. I don't know anybody who's a teacher who has gotten as much appreciation as they need to, whether they have right. the job of teacher or not. Like, he mm-hmm. taught me millions of dollars worth of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm thanking him now. Maybe I'll send him the show.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. It might be interesting to have him on your show.
Oh, my gosh. That would make me so happy. I can't even think of that.
What like, his advice for young professionals might be, you know.
Oh, I can't even think about it in my head. It makes me so happy. So we're going to go into a break. First, we're going to listen to a really cool kind of loving yourself and allowing yourself song. This song is called Matter of Time by Kim. It's a beautiful song. Listen to the words and try to get into it with yourself today. And we'll see you on the other side of the break.
All right.
Matter of Time. It's a matter of time.
your love set me free. Now I can let my life pass me by. I can get down and try and work it all out this lifetime. Work it all out this time. I can let it all pass me by. Work it all out this lifetime.
There was a time when love wasn't chosen. Now I'm just open for more. Now I'm just reaching out for something better than I had before. That ain't about a mind of your world.
Revolving Door is your local radio show where we host the best live bands in our downtown San Marcos studio every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. Tune in to KZSM.org to hear the best of your local live bands for 30 minutes to an hour as we get them in and get them out and on the air.
David, the handsomest boy on the radio. Listen every Thursday night to Rock Your Face at its new time, 8 p.m. The hits, the misses, rock and roll, blues, soul, funk, reggae, afrobeat, and more. That's 8 p.m. Thursday night on KZSM.org.
Escucha on Sábado, Saturday at 7 o'clock. Style Wars on KZSM, Community Radio.
Hey guys, we're back. We're still sitting and talking and giggling and having such a good time. We have to do this like regularly.
Yeah.
Sometime I'll have to come invade the Rainbow Flower Power Hour. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah, yeah.
The double rainbow.
Can I plug Tuesdays?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, there's not just the Rainbow Flower Power Hour on Tuesday, but tune in as soon as 4 o'clock where you can catch Bookmarked with Priscilla.
Perfect.
She has a very interesting show, and I believe the next one coming up is True Women. Is that the story? But anyway, it's about Texas women. It's so fascinating.
How cool. It goes right with our show today.
Yeah.
Yay, I love it. Okay. What else
and
Tuesdays?
Then, and because believe me, Texas was not just built by men. There were some very brave, you know, gritty, but very feminine and lovely women who really were the backbone of it all.
All right.
And, okay, then my show comes on from 6 to 8, the Rainbow Flower Power Hour. Mm-hmm. And then after me, Sammy the Bull comes in, and he does downtown funk,
nice.
You know, which is like probably 2 hours of really excellent funk. Talk about being in the groove. You know, you can, if you get up and move to Sammy's show, you've done your exercise for the week.
Hey,
you know?
I love it. I love it. Good.
And then the Handsomest Boy on the Radio comes in after that. Mm-hmm. I'm drawing a blank at the moment. He does two shows. He does Rock Your Face, but on Thursday night he does...
I'm not sure, but we had one of his commercials in here. One of his promos, so he's got...
The Handsomest Boy on the Radio.
The Handsomest Boy on the Radio.
Yeah, and awesome. It's a really excellent show, too, with all kinds of eclectic jazz and world beat and things that you've probably never heard, and he'll tell you where they came from and the story behind them,
nice.
Too. So, yeah, it's really, really great to listen to.
We've got some really cool shows that come through here on KZSM. If you want to get in contact with me directly to get a tarot reading or to come on the show, you can email me at Atika and then the number 8 at outlook.com. That's Attika, the number 8 at outlook.com. You can go to HiTarot, HaiTarot.com to either comment on my blogs or to schedule an appointment. So you can do all of that there and just reach out to me directly if you do want to read an appointment or a reading and you don't know what you want. Just write me a note and I'll let you know, what would work best for you.
Sounds great.
Let's see what else. I think that's all. Oh, and I'm High Tarot on Twitter and IG. And then there's a High Tarot group on Facebook.
You know what? As a matter of fact, as I was traveling back from Little Rock, I was listening to one of your blogs on.
Oh.
And there was a woman who was upset about this reading, but you were saying, okay, you're letting somebody violate your boundaries, and that's just telling the universe that you want more of that.
Right.
And
oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. Yes, yes.
And I was dealing with a similar situation,
great.
You know, for various different reasons, mm-hmm. and it helped me to get solid on a decision that I had made, you know, so it's kind of like the perfect guidance at the perfect time.
You gave me goosies. I wrote something about that. I brought that back up this week in Facebook, and I was writing that acceptance is requestance. So whatever you're accepting in your life, you're telling the universe or whatever you believe in, this is where I am now. This is how I roll.
Yeah.
Send me more of this.
Yeah.
So while you're accepting something, know that you're inviting that to come back.
Exactly. And I said to the universe, I said, now listen up. I may have not made myself understood.
There you go.
This is not acceptable, and here's what I'm going to do about it.
I love it. I love it. That's exactly what you have to do. And every time that thing comes up, you keep telling it, no, 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 I'm done with you. Off
right.
with you. Off with you, right? So I think that that's so important because you want to set yourself up today to be happier tomorrow. If there's something going on today that you don't like, don't keep accepting it. Don't keep making buttery bread for it and sitting it down and nursing it. Get it the hell out, right?
Yeah,
it's got to go.
Anybody who's going to be violating your boundaries is just trying to steal your joy, you know, and you are here to gin up as much joy as you possibly can.
Gin up as much joy as you can. And know that we all fall into traps where we're accepting or we're in situations where we are not happy. It's okay. That's part of our experience. Your responsibility isn't to make excuses for why you're there. Your responsibility is to get where you need to be.
Right.
The closer you are to where you want to be, the happier you will be. Get away from people who say, oh, it's Monday, Mondays suck. Get away from people who say mm-hmm. their life sucks. Get away from people who have this negativity at all times. Those people who can find a cloud for every silver lining, get away from them. Right. That's poison. It is poison for your experience.
Their thought patterns are creating that for them. That's where Absolutely. A thought is a thing. You know,
that's right.
You could say, oh, dark clouds, but look at that beautiful silver lining, and yay, we need some rain.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Those are the people in my tribe. When you hear people talking like that, that is my tribe. That's where I need to go. That's where I need to be. And it's difficult because here's the reason why you have to get away from those negative people. Negativity is heavier than positivity. It will always win. You cannot organize clutter. You have to throw it out. You cannot organize negativity. You have to get mm-hmm. away from it. Now, that doesn't mean you have to cuss anybody out. Nobody has to die. Just remove your energy,
yeah,
yourself
just like,
from
bless
it.
Bless you right. and be gone with you.
That's right. The Southerners have, what's the Southerners saying? What do they say? Bless your heart. Say bless your heart and get away from them. Guys, this has been the funnest soul sanctuary I think ever. I'm so happy it turned out so great. I have again my Prince drop I'm gonna do at the end of it, and I will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for joining me, Rebecca. I had
oh,
such
it's
a
been
great
my
time.
Pleasure. Wonderful. Thank you so
awesome.
Much.
Awesome. We'll see you guys soon.
A better life, a better life, a better life.
Goodbye.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing, oh, nothing is going. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know where else. I'll come running, oh yeah, baby, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, now all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old